This is New Home Insights, the John Burns Real Estate Consulting Podcast. I'll be your host, Dean Worley. As the title promises, we're going to bring you insights into everything housing. Latest trends, innovations, observations, and issues of the day. We'll bring in colleagues here at John Burns and also some major industry players from all across the country. This podcast is going to be quick, fun, but also hopefully make you think. So see you here every couple of weeks. Now let's get to it. Welcome back to another episode of New Home Insights. Today, we're going to be talking to Steve Birch, Senior Vice President here at John Burns Consulting. Steve, say hi.
Good morning, everybody.
Today, Steve and I are going to delve into our vault of consumer preferences from our Consumer Insights survey that we do every year. In this case, this survey is administered to thousands of folks across the country. This year, we had over 23,000 respondents from across the nation. And these are all home shoppers. These are the folks that you want to generalize to, and you want to tap into those preferences to see what works and what doesn't. Steve, don't talk anything about the survey here?
Well, that's good, man. That takes care of it. We had 23,720 people that responded to us, and 37 partners, both builders and developers, that worked with us on this thing.
Nice. Nice. So this is great data. Today, we'll come back to this multiple times. Today, we're going to talk about master plan amenities specifically. In fact, this is the first part of a two-parter. Second part, we will have master plan guru Ken Perlman talking about kind of what he's seen in master plan that works on the ground in terms of amenities. What kind of amenities have worked? Today with Steve, we're going to talk about what consumers have expressed that they want to see, what works, what doesn't work, what kind of differences are we seeing? So, Steve, let's get into it. Let's get into it with maybe the most obvious question, which is, what are kind of the core amenities that people want in a master plan? What are the must-haves right now?
So we talked to people about their communities. One of the dominant trends that we came up with this year is health and fitness. That's really on people's mind. That's what they're thinking about a lot. So walking paths and trails are by far and away the most popular amenity in community. Here's an interesting thing. I know that developers look really hard at the big land-eating amenities that they can put in. So we asked about, would you prefer to have a big centralized park with maybe some sports fields in it and those kinds of things? And the majority of our shoppers are much more interested in pocket parks throughout the community as opposed to a big centralized park.
Okay, so how about the who? How do we differ in these? How do we differ? I can see older buyers and the social interaction we know is really key. What are some ways, but whatever you, by region, by part of the metropolitan area, outline versus suburban versus in town, by age, by whatever, how do we differ in terms of our preferences for master plan amenities?
Well, that's a very interesting thing, and sometimes the differences we find are pretty obvious, but it's good to have quantification as a backup for them. So we took a hard look at pool preferences, how people want the pools set up, and not terribly surprising, but older adults, similar to our young adults, so where kids are not a factor, are much more interested in hard exercise pools, lap pools, and even kind of resort-oriented pools for socialization with places to chat and meet and talk and stuff like that. For young adults, or for young families with kids, the attention obviously and logically shifts to more community-oriented pools, splash pads for the kids, all kinds of things to keep the kids interested and active. So it's a bit of an obvious difference, but it's an important one to know about. And it stresses the importance of targeting as you go in to setting up these communities. Are you going to be dealing more with families, or are you going to be dealing with non-family groups?
Yeah, you have to know your buyer profile going in. And actually, that's one of the ways the consumer can help you. You know your pool, your buyer profile. You've got to be able to hit them and hit with what they want. Okay, so let's go to, we'll be a little delicate here. This is preferences. You don't have to cite any specific examples, of course. What are the must not haves, or at least the classic amenities that maybe we see a lot of, that is their popularity is waning, or they really aren't that heavily preferred?
Well, and I kind of hate to do this because this is kind of the end of the cycle, right? But The first thing that popped out at me is the lack of interest for either a 9-hole or an 18-hole golf course within the community. So there's a little bit of an uptick of an interest among active adults and empty nesters, but boy, it is not that big a deal, not significant. And then among those that do want a golf course, most of them would prefer it to be fairly close to their community, not inside of the community. So again, it's, you know, we don't need to eat up this much land inside the community and then pay for all the maintenance of a golf course. I can drive to one nearby. So the golf course is the huge one.
And you're going to lose money anyway. So you don't want to be part of that.
Exactly.
So golf seemed to wax and wane with Tiger, didn't it? It seemed it surges in a sudden popularity with Tiger. He faded away and it's kind of tanked. Although I'm joking, that I think that's been going on for 30 years.
Yeah. And watch your local market. Sometimes a trend will pick up in a local market. It'll be very interesting. I know that when I was working in Atlanta, there was a lot of interest in community tennis clubs for the kids or even for the adults. And so that picked up some interest, but generally speaking across the country, we don't see that much interest in the tennis until you get to the pickleball stage. Then you can.
That's a good point. So I've read somewhere recently that pickleball has kind of lost steam in the active adult world. For a while, it seemed like pickleball was literally a must have. Is that not true anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a must have. Plus you had to have seats so people could watch other people play it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, sounds fascinating.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is pickleball not an ESPN? I'm confused.
Exactly. Or an Olympic sport, really, for crying out loud. Yeah.
So it's funny. You do have to kind of balance being sort of faddish versus being stale, don't you? Is something that seems like is surging, is it just a temporary fad, or is it something you need to really switch to? And if you don't follow fads, do you become stale? Do you get old? It's a tough balance, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, especially for you might call them hardwired amenities, right? So you literally have to have a hard surface for either pickleball or tennis. So if you make that commitment, you've got to hope that amenity stays interesting to the prospective buyers and then ultimately someday to the resale buyers in that community. So,
yeah, good point. What else? Anything else that sort of you tested and doesn't have much of an appeal?
No, those were the big things that really stuck my attention. Yeah, especially the golf thing. That's just, and I know we're at the end of the cycle. I hate to pile on, but it's just something that people are not clamoring for inside of their community.
Honestly, I think we're at the end of the golf cycle, the 400 year golf cycle. It's done. You can tell I hate golf. Okay, I'm letting my bias show through there. I apologize. Okay, so now here is your crystal ball, Steve. You ready? You put on your seer hat. What do you think we are going to see in terms of master plan amenities down the road? What might draw interest in the future?
Okay, so we talked a little bit about socializing events and the things that make the community more or less sterile and more interactive. But there's also an opportunity, I think, for some servicing. So we've been doing some research lately and looking at the whole issue of delivery receiving services. And I mean, unless you're living under a rock, you got to realize how fast online ordering is going. And then what's growing along with it is the potential for theft or misappropriation of your packages at your door. So delivery receiving service is gaining popularity. It's not over the majority yet, but a number of people are starting to think about that. And what they're really thinking about is a delivery service for the stuff that they order online, especially the stuff that's rather expensive. So, you know, you order a new phone and it gets delivered. Well, if you're not there for most of the day and you come in later, is there a place you can deliver it? So one of the things that communities could consider that wouldn't be totally out of line is a set of lockers, not unlike the FedEx lockers or the UPS lockers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that people could get their deliveries safely maintained until they get there.
I know the survey is only the survey that our data is to new home shoppers, but we're seeing that in the luxury apartment world already where they have those. We just came across a, God, I want to say it was a 5-6-year-old apartment building, and they were already redoing and enlarging their locker space for exactly that reason. They were doubling the size of the locker space. And I think they were getting rid of some little meeting room or something like that to create more of this locker space for folks who would get their package and get a text that it's there. Yeah, that's a great idea. So you see that happening in the for sale master plan world.
Yes, exactly. And I, you know, and that's a logical application for it, because it could be centralized, and then the two things would happen. The delivery service trucks wouldn't be zipping all over your neighborhood, and it would be easier for them to make a handful of deliveries to one centralized place. I mean, a lot of good things would happen if we can find some space and devote some space to a secure delivery receiving system of some sort.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's good. What else? What else might happen out there?
More than half of our respondents work at least one day a week from home. And so, well, that has some obvious implications for the house itself, right? You need an office, probably want an office with a door, you know, some of the design characteristics of building a nice office into the home is certainly an obvious thing. But what about a business center in the community somewhere that could handle large printing projects, a separate place to go and do shipping and receiving and, you know, that kind of stuff. So the rest of the office features that one probably wouldn't put in their home office could be provided in community. It might be a really popular, it might be a surprisingly popular activity.
How about meeting space? Would you?
Absolutely. I, as a person that works at home, I'm kind of sensitive to this. And there's been times that I wanted to bring my team to Phoenix and have a meeting with them, and I'd almost have to do it at an airport in a conference room or somewhere else. Because my house, a meeting space would be a terrific idea.
Yeah, not every meeting can be at Starbucks when you're home officing. I mean, most of them, yes, but not all of them. So yeah, that's a good idea. I like that. So business centers for all those home officers, and also, of course, accommodating those home officers in their floor plans. What else is out there in the future?
So the last thing I was thinking about and thinking about at some length was this whole idea of kind of the movement to humanize our communities and have more social interaction and social events. I could see that becoming a considerably more important element of a community, almost one that would be leverageable in a marketing sense, that this is a community with a real sense of community. So we are doing things maybe on a quarterly basis. I love the notion of thinking of HOAs becoming, adding a social component. So they're regulatory and they take care of all the common areas, all that kind of stuff, very, very important. But what about adding a social element to it? So on a quarterly basis, we put together a community barbecue, a community car show, a concert in the park, you know, something like that. Not a huge issue and doesn't take too much more hard amenity space, but it's something that suddenly can render a community a lot more livable and a lot more fun.
Every community needs a cruise director.
I'm not saying
that. I'm not going to date myself. I'm making a Love Boat reference, so although I could. and you would get it, and I would get it, and I think some of our listeners would get it. So that's great. This is good stuff, Steve. Let's recap real quick here for what we talked about. So we talked about master plan amenities and preferences from the consumer survey that, as Steve mentioned, almost 24,000 people responded to nationwide. In terms of the must-haves, we talked about health and fitness and trails and things like that. Just that activity. People want to lead an active lifestyle of all ages. So having those things that maintain that activity is critical. We like separate bike paths, just even if they're internal or even external bike paths for the younger and more adventurous. And all the old buyers want to see those bike paths threaded through. I've even seen some where you see kind of a tri-path environment, kind of walking, jogging or bikes. And in terms of the who wants what, you know, the older folks like the lap pools and the kind of that resort orientation, love the socialization and the social interaction. Families are more about the splash pads and the activities. In terms of the what must not have, or at least what is starting to wane in popularity, it's golf. I say that with glee in my voice. And it's things, and be careful of those niche amenities, you know, the skateboard park, the equestrian, things like that, that have comparatively limited appeal. And master plans need to reach that broad-based appeal that's tougher with those niche things. But there is this balance between being stale and just following fad, so it's not easy. And then finally, we talked about what might happen in the future, and Steve mentioned that servicing. It's all about service, all about online ordering. And let's accommodate folks who work from home. We're gonna, I agree, I think we're gonna see that be more and more the norm. And then finally, social interaction has long been a big thing in master plans, but more of it, more often, that's the kind of thing people wanna see in their communities. Steve, anything you wanna add for last words?
No, this has been a blast. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
We did too, and I hope you did too. Listeners, please join us next time on New Home Insights, when, as I mentioned, we're going to talk to Karen Perlman, and we're going to again cover master plan amenities, but we're going to do that from the perspective of some hard examples on the ground, what Ken's seen in his travels across the country of what's worked and maybe what's not worked. So, see you next time.